meditation. Both laboratory research and the accounts of experiences given by remote viewers suggest that the ability to remote view is a function of coherence, and coherence is a function of the ability to focus. Of all the things that you can do to make yourself a better remote viewer, nothing will serve you as well as developing the practice of meditation. The literature concerning meditation now numbers in the hundreds of studies. Even if you have no interest in remote viewing, the physical, emotional, and mental benefits reported for those who meditate, in comparison with control populations who do not, would make developing the practice of meditation an important life decision. I'm going to teach you a simple technique I have personally used for almost 4 decades, and which I have taught to several thousand people. It imposes no beliefs, it offends the tenets of no religion, and one need not even be religious to use it. I do have to proffer one warning. People who use this, or any meditation technique, tend, over time, to change their perspective on the world. They come to feel that they are not alone, that all life is interconnected and interdependent, and that this life network, including themselves, is connected to something profoundly good that is greater than they are. If it is important to you to remain a materialist and an atheist, meditation may be something you do not want to undertake. Meditation is at once the simplest and hardest thing you will ever do. It is simple to do it once, or even for a week or two, but it is hard to do it as a regular practice. Mostly, what we do during our waking hours is unconscious, reactive behavior. Presented with a person of a different race or religion or ethnic background or sexual orientation or social status or economic group, we immediately have an entire set of programs that kick in to tell us how we ought to react to that person. What passes for thought about that person is really, upon closer examination, little more than running the program until we fit them into the appropriate category so that we can make a judgment about them. It's the same with food or clothes or music or pets or cars or sports teams. We each have thousands of these little subroutines, little bots that run our lives down to the smallest detail. The energy they have to do this comes from ourselves, and they are very defensive of their prerogatives. When you try to reclaim this delegated authority that you have given them, and to integrate yourself so that your choices are made consciously and not by the bots, they will fiercely resist. Meditation, however, will focus you. It will allow you to reclaim the power and force that you have given to the bots. It allows you to live in what most spiritual traditions call the now, by which is meant you make a decision freed from the drag of biases derived from the past or in anticipation of what will happen in the future. Here is a simple, non-sectarian approach to meditation, which I call words of power. First, choose a regular time. Select a time each day when you can sit undisturbed for 20 minutes. No phones, no interruptions, no unnecessary stimulus from radio or television, no strong smells, just a quiet space. You will probably find that this becomes the busiest time of your day. After a few weeks, you will suddenly have any number of things which your mind tells you must only be done during those 20 minutes that you have selected for meditation. Do not give way. Persevere. Second, pick a spot. Select a spot in your house or office that you use for your meditation session. You are creating your own sacred space. Do so in conscious awareness that that is what you are doing, and that this spot is part of your meditation process. Third, find a central phrase. There is some phrase or sentence that you have heard or read that has deeply impressed you or with which you resonate. It might be something from the Bible, or a favorite book, or a verse, or a song. It should be something that has a strong, positive association in your mind, whether it would even make sense to another person. Fourth, keep your phrase a secret. If you tell others about your phrase and they say the word, when you go to say it, their pronunciation, their attitude about the word or what you told them about it may intrude into your mind. By choosing your phrase, you empower it as a goal to which you aspire, so don't tell anyone what you have chosen. Fifth, examine your life. Consider where you are and where you aspire to be. Consider this from the physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual levels. Look for patterns. In considering the physical, let's say you overeat. It has been a lifelong problem, and you view it as a negative reaction. The positive for that would be that you wish to eat consciously, only those foods which are good for you and in appropriate amounts. I have split the emotional and the mental because research suggests, and my own experience confirms, that they are often confused. When people are asked how they feel, they respond by saying what they think. How do you feel about that friend and what they just did? I don't think she should have said it. I don't think she should have done that. That's thinking. I feel surprised and hurt that she has never told me this before. That's feeling. An emotional pattern might be how you feel when you allow your partners to disregard your feelings and then you feel angry. The positive of that might be you will say what your feelings are and choose only to be involved with people who will acknowledge them. Be as honest as you can, and don't tell anyone about it, or you will lie to yourself. 6. Choose 4 words of power. After you have been thinking for a while about these patterns in your life, reduce them to 4 words or phrases. Words or phrases that embody all the energy that you have invested in these patterns, but that represent the aspirations that you have to live the positive aspects of the pattern. 7. Once a day in your chosen place, at your chosen time, be present to meditate for 20 minutes. This part is harder than it seems. You'll find, once you begin the discipline, that there may be times when other things pull you away. You must make this a priority. Go into your space, sit comfortably, loosen your collar or belt or shoelaces, anything that constricts. Look at the watch of a clock. Visualize the hands as they will be in 20 minutes. You will be surprised at how accurate you can become, and this time estimating skill will carry over to other aspects of your life. Many meditators regularly give themselves the suggestion to awaken at a certain time and find that they no longer need an alarm clock. 8. Say your central phrase in your mind. Repeat it. Repeat it again. Wait. For a while, there will be nothing. Then you will find thoughts bubbling up. If the thoughts pertain to your phrase, whether anyone else would think they did or not does not matter, think them. After a while, you will find your thoughts wandering to matters that do not, in your mind, have anything to do with your central phrase. When that happens, clear your mind. Take a deep breath. Say your central phrase again, then stop. There will be nothing for a while. After a bit, thoughts will bubble up. If the thoughts pertain to your central phrase, think them. Then they will start to wander to other topics. When that happens, repeat the process again. In the course of a single session, you may have to do this several times, but over time you will find that you need to do it less and less often. Your thoughts may give you great insight into something going on in your life, or about which you are thinking. But it is in the periods of silence, the spaces in between, that the really interesting events in meditation take place. It is here that the transcendent experiences which change people's lives occur. This cannot be predicted as far as when it will take place, but I assure you it will happen. What happens has to be experienced to be understood. 9. Close with your words of power. At the end of your session, slowly say in your mind your physical word or phrase of power. Pause a moment. Then say your emotional word or phrase. Then your mental one. And finally, your spiritual word or phrase. It might help to visualize them going out like an arc, or that you are plugging into something. Whatever works best, do that. Over time, you will find that one or the other of your words or phrases will go flat, as if the energy has gone out. When that happens, examine your life again. You may find that the goal you sought with that word has now been attained. The change is usually subtle and the transformation so gradual that you hardly noticed, but now you are there. When that happens, select a new word or phrase in the same way as the earlier one and begin again. In this way, you can transform your life. There may even come a time when your central phrase goes flat. When that happens, consider what has changed. Really come to understand it. Make it a part of your conscious life. Then select a new central phrase and begin again. Some words and phrases will go flat in weeks. Others may take years before they need to be retired. It depends on you and the dance of your life. There are a lot of things one might say about what is happening to you physiologically during meditation, but they can be summed up by saying your brain chemistry changes, your blood chemistry changes, your stress level goes down, your muscles relax, your heartbeat slows, your blood pressure goes down, and your sense of general well-being increases. That's not bad for 20 minutes. Meditation gives you the ability to focus. It gives you a kind of mental coherence it is hard to achieve in any other way. And it is this coherence that seems to make meditators such good remote viewers.